Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashawn Taylor across the faux marble table.
Bro, it's dark as hell in here.
Yeah, you gotta crank those lights up.
Yeah, for sure.
We're on camera now. We're on television. Well, not television, but yeah.
I mean, ish.
There we go. We're on Twitch for the kids. You know how it goes. How's it going, boys?
I'm a little darker than both of y'all, so it doesn't show up.
Hey, me too, man. You know.
Okay.
I got
one week in the sun.
I got burnt last week, man. Burnt to a crisp, all right? So I'm basically black at this point.
Well, chill. But yeah, I definitely get it.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I definitely get it darker. It's amazing, man.
Like, you know how many people have come
amazing
up,
what the sun does to you guys.
You know how many people have come sun, up to me this week and like, be like, dude, are you black?
No one.
No.
No one. Guaranteed.
Minus
guaranteed.
Two people.
Guaranteed, no one. But no, you definitely did come back with a more of a Hulk Hogan-ish.
Burnt to a crisp. Tan, yeah, you know? Leathery so, skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not good. It was not good. It was the final lesson learned in... need to apply sunscreen.
Absolutely.
It was a humbling moment. It happened first in like 5 years ago when I went to Hawaii, like duh, you know, got burned there. And then it was like 2 years ago, I was at the Oregon coast and the tops of my feet got burned.
Oh,
which that was a new one. Like, you know, we did a long beach walk, you know, for like 2-3 hours or something like that. Me and a few family members. And that was a whole level of hurt that I had never understood before.
I can
was like,
imagine.
What the hell?
I can imagine. I've actually never been sunburned, so I don't I couldn't tell you how that, what that feels like, or, you know, that pain, but I can imagine, based on what I've seen and read and everything, that it made putting on socks pretty pretty difficult for a little bit.
So, honest question, do you not have to put on sunscreen, or is that more so because of we don't want skin cancer, so that's the reason why?
I mean, we do. Like, if we're going somewhere super hot, right, we're going to Fiji, we're going to, you know, somewhere that's just known for their, you know, blazing weather.
Like the equator. Extra. Like,
wasn't it special? The UV index that you got to worry about?
Is that the new near the equator?
So, you know, around that time. But if we're going to Miami, you know, we're going to somewhere in California. Most of us aren't thinking about sunscreen.
No, not even a little bit. Like, just the blotch right on your nose.
Not even a little blotch on your nose.
What is that? I mean, like...
Oh, that works.
I know, but why so much in just one area?
And because why on it, your
it,
nose?
It, like, honestly, as a kid, I didn't get it.
It melts onto your face and other extremities? Like,
no, it's because your nose has literally so much exposure over the rest of your face because it's huge and it's kind of covering some other parts of your face. I do
have a schnoz.
Exactly. Ditto. And my family has never ceased to take an opportunity to tell me. It's like, you have a big nose. Like, I know. Essentially, like, that, I believe it goes away so quick that you just need to just put that glob on there.
I was itchy, scratchy, burned, been peeling like a damn boa constrictor this whole week. My girlfriend made it much worse. She was, you know, giving me head scratches yesterday, you know, just running her fingers through my, then she goes, is that, cause I was wearing my black sweatshirt.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And uh-oh, it looked like a snowstorm on my shoulders.
Oh, she thinks
not dandruff. Yes, it was. Just, no.
Sunburned on his head, guys.
Yeah, sunburned scalp, okay.
Same thing. Same thing, technically. You might need a week of head and shoulders.
But... No, it's not dandruff. I'm fine. I will say, though, that's not looking good for me as far as genetics go, because Joe Fisher Sr., that guy, he is, he's got some dandruff on him. I remember noticing it, like, the first time when I was, like, 18, he was staying in town, and he got up off the couch to go to bed and did the brush off of the couch, because he'd had a nice little layer on the back of it going. I was just like,
man, y'all don't, okay, I gotta ask, and this is just black dude to white dudes,
white
here.
People problems.
Do you guys like oil your scalp and moisturize your
oil
your hair? See, that right there is why,
like, what do you mean, like a serum, like a little, like, drops of something?
No, I mean, like, in coconut oil or some type of, you know, you know, stuff to put in your hair to, or in your head, to make sure that it's like,
like, extra
is
soft.
Is that something you do? Because that's something that
you're losing.
We do.
Me.
I have to go through my scalp or have my lady do it. And
when I Google hair oil, the first thing that comes up is hair oil for frizzy hair, and then the second is for curly hair. So I feel like that is just, that is not a white man straight.
Well, see, there
hair
you go.
Thing.
You guys have to use sunscreen. I have to use oil and stuff that in my hair to make sure. Only to make sure. Number one, my scalp stays dry, and then my hair is healthy.
I'm sure there's a difference between you and I with the oil on top of our heads, but I will say, like, I've always had, like, that kind of extra oily scalp, so I do try to, like, at least I've got a shampoo that has kind of, like, a cleansing whatever in there, and I really make sure, if I don't, like, get in there with my nubbins when I'm doing, like, my shampooing each day, I can tell a difference. So I've really got a scrub. Like,
you know what blew my mind was the first time I ever saw a video of the process of how to get waves.
What?
It's a fugazi thing.
Waves
not everybody
hair.
Can get
waves.
Waves, yes.
Oh my God. That is like an overnight process. Like,
it is, you know, that's like
a lot of different
way to do it.
Soaps and creams, and then you got to put in a do-rag for hours on end, and
it's really
brush it out. I was like,
I think they made it much more complicated than it needs to be for the most part. But, you know, for the most part, to get waves, there's a couple things you can do. One, you can go through that whole process, or two, you have naturally curly hair, and so that's what creates the waves when, you know, when you cut your hair. So, you know, right now my hair is growing as I have a bit of an afro. So when I cut it, it's going to kind of stick up in the air for a little bit until I train it to kind of lay back down.
It's looking really good, dude. Your hair is looking fresh.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. I have to go get a haircut, a lineup. Like, I couldn't come on camera again looking crazy.
You've almost got like that Scottie Pippen, like just where, you know, back in the day, like he was starting to let it grow a little bit. Like that was honestly like one of my favorite hairstyles that he ever
Pippen's
had.
Pippen's fro? Pippen had a nasty fro though.
That hair, you know what that tells me? Rashad, what's you. What's
up? When I woke up ready.
Man, woke up ready. You already know what he means. Here's the cool part. What's my man's name again? We're going to get to know him a whole lot.
Xavier Leggett.
Leggett
or Leggett? Leggett. I keep hearing both.
Whatever you want, baby. It's all good.
Yeah, so.
We'll figure it out soon enough once he catches for 1,000 yards this season.
He's one of them dudes from the South that you understand everything that he's saying. Like,
he sounds like Slim Thug from like Still Tippin', Mike Jones, you know?
That's a throwback reference, you know, at this point.
Look who creeping, look who balling, still crawling in the mix.
Yeah, I don't know if you asked anybody who Mike Jones was.
Mike Jones? Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
There you go. You get it.
I had a coach named Mike Jones, and he did not appreciate that joke.
It was really irritating, I can imagine.
Yeah. It was not fun for him.
The 19th time he'd heard that week, bro.
Oh, no. He was an old white dude. I am sure he had no idea. Like, what did
these kids...
Until
he found out.
What did these kids keep saying this for? What the hell?
Yeah. That's what it meant.
All right. I got a poll question up for today, because it's something I don't know if I'm necessarily proud of. Well, I'm proud of myself. Two things happened this week. I'm proud of myself for one, and I got to do a little humble brag here. I was out last week. I was out in Central Oregon, White Boy Weekend, as Rashad calls it, and got my first eagle ever on the golf course.
Ooh, what hole?
It was at Juniper Golf Course, hole number 10. Got a solid drive, put that baby on the green. For the second shot with a 5-iron, and then I had about like a 40-45 foot putt, which is usually when you have that situation, you're like, oh, putting for eagle, but really you're like, this isn't gonna go. I'm not gonna make this. I put that some bitch right in the hole.
That has to feel good on the 10th hole, you know, especially as
making the turn.
Yeah, you know, so I'm sure that gave you a bunch of confidence going into the last few holes.
And then I almost drove the green two holes later. That would have given me another eagle opportunity, and then I ended up parring it. But yeah,
Sounds like you had a pretty productive day then.
It wasn't productive to start, that's for sure. Like, we were like five or six holes in, and I was golfing with a buddy down there, one of my clients, and it got to a point where I hit a shot, and he was like, man, maybe we need to get another drink in you. Because it was getting that bad.
It's the old adage, man. It's not about how you start.
Yeah,
it's how you finish.
It was not good.
If you did that
on
10, that's pretty impressive, Joe. A lot of jacking right now. That's nothing to do with. But yeah,
that's what was happening those first few holes. So.
Certain point of golfing too, where you kind of you get that like good feeling from drinking, but you can't tip over the edge.
Can't overdo it.
But yeah, like once you go back to the other end, you're like, oh crap, I need a couple more because like I'm starting to get the shakes again.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like the alcohol shakes. I mean, I'm scared holding the club, which is yours truly.
Yes, it was not a great start, but we finished strong. We finished strong. The thing I'm not proud of, it happened yesterday. So earlier in the week, a week or so ago, the lady hits me up and, you know, she's saying, hey, in a couple Saturdays, we're all going out to Hood River. There's some barbecue spot out there. And I was like, damn, this must be a pretty good barbecue if you guys are making plans to go out to Hood River for it. Turns out it was in Cascade Locks, so didn't have to go all the way to Hood River. Mm-hmm. Just past the like Bonneville Dam.
You can walk around with drinks in Hood River, like open carry drinks, like Vegas and Nolan. So that would have been even better.
Very random place to have that rule.
That's an odd space for that to happen.
Why do you
think
I got married there? It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, hey, count me in. You know, must be pretty damn good barbecue. And it was it was a food truck, this barbecue truck that was at Freen Brewing in Cascade Locks for their summer kickoff party or something like that, which it wasn't very summery out there at Cascade Locks.
No, not yesterday.
Wait. You drove to Cascade Locks for a food cart.
I didn't drive. I sat in a car that drove. I wasn't going to drive that. I was like, I'm good. I don't need to drive all that way. But I'll go with you. Yeah, this is something that the girl and her friends were doing. And I was like, all right, I'll tag along. I was like, barbecue, you know, count me in, right?
That is the most Oregon thing I've ever heard in my life. Driving over an hour for a food cart.
So, people
have been doing more for In-N-Out.
You just wait. Because this goes to the sentiment that one Jason Sukanik has about standing in line for food. So we get there, right? And it's at Frame Brewing. They have their big old distribution. I don't know what it is. Big location. We get there. There is a Disneyland-esque line snaking its way through the property, like out to the curb. And I'm just like, is that just to like get in? I was like, if that's to get in, like whatever, we'll be in like 15 minutes. But okay. That wasn't to get in. That it was for the barbecue. There was a line that took so long. It literally took us just over 3 hours to get to the barbecue, the front of the line.
You waited in line for 3 hours?
Yes. And I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy about it. I would have known ahead of time, like, this is going to be, dude, this is going to be a huge deal. There's going to be a bunch of people there, people from all over. They love this barbecue. It's, I don't know how famous it is. I had never heard of it before this. And I got there, and when I saw that line, the regret sat in me immediately.
You are a better... Go ahead,
Jordan. No, I just want to say quickly, I would have turned around so fast, my Siggo would have wondered if I were breaking up with her.
Well, again, like, I was...
Hell to the no.
I didn't drive, so I didn't... It wasn't like I could take anybody's car. And, I have to mention Suk, because he said on his program many times, standing in line for food is something he would never do. So my girlfriend and I, we went with Suk's girlfriend, and apparently he was giving her crap because he's like, oh, so Joe and Joey is invited, but I'm not, even though we know damn well he wouldn't have wanted to go anyways.
No,
but I guarantee,
very similar in that regard.
Oh boy, I guarantee he would have been giving her an earful if he pulled up and saw that line for that barbecue. Because I had to kind of play it cool and be like, you know, whatever. We're here. I can't go anywhere. So we just have to live with this. 3+ hours. Not even kidding.
Mm-mm.
And we were taking...
We had to find somewhere else to eat.
We were taking shifts, you know, leaving the line to go get a beer, come back, play with the kids, come back. But I'm telling you, from when we got in the line to when we got to the front and got our food served, it was 3+ hours.
Was the barbecue legit?
It was good. It was good. I mean, I think it was also one of those things that I haven't ate in 3 hours, yeah. So you could have given me literally anything. You could have served me like Outback, and I would have been like, oh, this barbecue.
Whoa, hold
just
on.
Absolutely,
I don't like
busting.
Where you're going about Outback, though.
Is it, I mean, I don't know. Is Outback world-renowned for their barbecue?
I mean, maybe not their barbecue, but
they're blaming onion.
Stuff.
You can go eat
onion, yeah.
You know, go have a decent meal for
a nice
decent
steak.
Price.
You know, well, I was, might have some good ribs.
Like, well, when I saw that line, I was saying, I was not too happy about that at all. So, my poll question, the Sports Sunday poll question, brought to you by your creepy neighbor Daryl, who spends way too much time outside in just his bathrobe. How long are you willing to wait in line for a really, really good barbecue food truck / your favorite type of food truck? Mm-hmm. I put 0 minutes. Just, I want to be able to walk up, obviously, but, you know, the world's not perfect. 15 to 30, 1+ hour, 3+ hours.
The answer, number one, for barbecue, in most cases,
and
like,
I didn't
depending
put it
on
like,
where you go, but it's going to take 20 minutes for them to have your meal prepared, sometimes longer.
And
than
I
that.
Didn't want to put, like, how long are you willing to wait for barbecue? Because, like, some barbecue, it takes hours.
Yeah,
like, you
if
know,
I'm
like,
doing it, I'll
I'm
wait all
party.
Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
Yeah, so, but I... Food truck where it's like, damn, I want to try this. This looks good.
I'm in line with people, and there's a good chance. I mean, probably not, but there's a good chance that what you want by the time you get up there is not there anymore.
Oh,
so, hey,
yeah.
I'm looking for burnt ends, and you know what? We just sold out of burnt ends.
We were
bro.
Maybe 15, 20 minutes from the front of the line, like, I don't know how many groups, and the guy comes out and he puts the blue tape over the brisket. No more brisket. And I was at that point, I was just like, dude.
Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
I am.
Like, I actually had a similar situation. Wasn't in line for 3 hours because that would be asinine. I would never stay in line for, I'm one of the, what's the second one? 15 to 30 minutes. I've got 15 minutes in this line. And if it's not moving and I feel like we're still going to be stuck, then I'll find something else. But I was in the line at Matt's Barbecue earlier this week and in line for about, you know, like 7-8 minutes, not too long. And to get to the front, you have to order on the little, like, iPad, you know, type
tablet
thing.
Ordering.
Tablet,
now.
Right? And so I'm ordering, and I see there's no brisket available. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? And I go up there and ask, like, is there still brisket? It's not on the, nope, we're out of brisket, man. So if I got all the way in that line, because that's, I think that's a lot of people's become their favorite barbecue item, is the brisket.
Yeah.
I think
clearly
over time, like ribs have always been king. But
dude,
I think over time,
honestly, give me a fat sausage. That's what, I mean.
Especially cheddar infused. And I'm going to pull that one. Give me a fast. Oh, that's a good.
There was Hatch chili cheddar sausages. There was Crystal Hop sausages, which is the most Oregon thing ever as well, along with standing 3 hours in line. Yeah, I wasn't too happy, Rashad.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have been.
How many beers did you drink in this line, I guess, is my. Because I could probably do like two beers. So if it's like an environment where there's, you know, alcohol there, yeah, give me a couple of beers, I can wait in line. But after two, I'm like, all right, you got to give me some food like right now.
Yeah, I think it was two beers. And then I finished off my girl's cider that
Bring
she
us
had.
Some shots, man. Like, we're going to be here in line for
If I would have drove, I definitely would have been like, you guys stay in line. I'm going to go down the road and go to a brewery that's open.
You could have got at least you could have got nine holes in.
Oh, trust me. I sent the picture of the barbecue to my golf group chat, and I was like, waited 3+ hours for this barbecue. I could have been golfing.
Yeah, you could have got nine holes in, and you would have been probably back in time to enjoy some barbecue.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I could have. If I were golfing by myself, I could have probably gotten a full 18 in. I played at Brasada Ranch last weekend by myself, 18 holes, 3 hours. So I literally could have played a full 18 by myself.
So, okay, scale of 1 to 10 on the barbecue.
I'm gonna go with because I didn't have brisket. I'm gonna give it a 7.5, 8 because I will say the chicken quarter that they had some sort of like gold mustard sauce on it that was just banging. The burnt ends they made was like in some sort of like ginger soy sesame marinade. So it was burnt ends are great, but I want a sticky barbecue flavored burnt end. Like I wasn't anticipating that kind of flavoring with the burnt end. It was still good. The pulled pork was pulled pork. It was solid. The sausages, again, I'm a sucker for a sausage. So give me any type really. And I'll be happy about that. So I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10. The white bread.
it's
knocked it out of the park.
if you're giving me, you know, a piece of wheat bread or some sourdough with some ribs, like, come on, man, slap yourself. Because if you're going to eat barbecue, nothing is better than some white Franz or Wonder Bread.
Ooh. Yeah, the barbecue is not so good, I would slap my mama. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get things moving here. Man, we are over. We have playoff stuff. Playoff stuff, yeah. We have two teams that we know will be in their respective conference finals. We have two of the best things in sports today.
What are they, Joe?
Game 7. Game 7, baby. We also, we have to talk about what happened on Friday with the world's number one golfer. Because I know you saw this.
I did.
No, you don't follow golf. I did. But you, how could you not?
You
got to
stop
this?
Saying that. You don't follow golf as much as the golf guy.
You don't.
You and Swag and maybe Dirt, you know what I'm saying, are really the golf guys.
And Rob, obviously of course. Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would put myself fourth in that pecking order by
far. You're in the pecking
Those
order.
Those three guys have been golfing a lot longer than
but
I am.
You're in the pecking order is the point.
But we will get to that. Also, the PGA Championship in general, because it's a good one. We have a good one today. And I'm sure some other things will pop up. I'm sure that we would love to just talk about Harrison Butker, but I think I'm going to have to table that for today.
Yeah, can we just skip that whole convo, please?
Fine. Also, on the subject of meats, I will have to throw this out.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat.
Mm.
So good.
All right, let's get to going.
Still not funny, guys.
All right, we got a team that's in the Western Conference Finals. Patience is a virtue. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. This is Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, to look at the poll question so far. 50% say they would wait for over 3 hours.
Y'all are bugging.
I'm vindicated.
Y'all are bugging.
You've got nothing to do.
Oh, wait, that says 3.8%. Fact that there are actually any votes on that, though, at all, I'm surprised. I thought that was going to be a clean sweep. Nobody was going to vote for 3+ hours.
Somebody is like your sicko and willing to do that. Somebody else out there.
It might have been me and my 5 burner accounts that voted for it, but 0 minutes. People just want their favorite food and not have to wait. They want that instant gratification, 16.5%. 15 to 30 minutes, 77.2%. Just a landslide victory. 1+ hour, 2.5%. 3+ hours, 3.8%.
That's crazy. Yeah. 3-hour people. I don't understand it. Like, there's only so many things I'm willing to stand in line for. Even when I go to amusement parks, like,
thank you.
That's what I was doing. When I got there, the first thing I asked for, I was like, is there a fast pass? Can I purchase? I was like, when do we start bidding on people's spots in line?
And you can't order food and, you know, prior to getting there, like,
no,
so you have
I don't think
to,
there was any,
to wait in line.
Yeah, I don't think there was any sort of RSVP or any sort of like reservation kind of thing. It was
that's
just like
insane.
You're getting like I said, I was like, man, if you come through with like a stack of cash and you go Meekum Auctions, like, how much for your spot in line? How much for your spot in line? $50 for your spot in line. $100. Like, I'm sure one group behind us, they gave up halfway through. The girls just left.
Good.
I'm with her. I'm with her, screw this noise. Let's get out of here.
There definitely gets to a point in the line though where you're like, well, I can't leave. Like, I've already gave up too much
time.
Sure,
there's a famous Dave's around here somewhere. Let's go, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up is in Cascade Locks. There are a couple other breweries there, Thunder Island and Gorges Beer Company. But I don't know. Maybe it's the barbecue spot. World renowned. Like you said, maybe they're on Guy Fieri's or something like that.
Diners, Dive-Ins.
I found this barbecue spot in Hood River, Oregon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no out thanks. Of bounds. Shut the front door. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to do some research because that was preposterous. Someone said 0 minutes and zero tip. Damn.
Listen, 3 hours is egregious.
Just from our group, they made bank yesterday. Like, I can tell just from, like, our group of 5 or 6 adults, like, they raked in cash yesterday. I know they did. Someone said 15 to 30 minutes, any longer than half hour. I'd rather do it myself. Yeah, I hear you on that.
How much was the average plate? Like $20? Is that what we're talking?
I have the prices on my phone.
Well, I mean, if we're because food, you're talking a food cart, so I think 15 to 20, unless you're starting to get like lobster roll territory, which it's going to be $30 anywhere. You're kind of like getting a little like a long wait now. B, really really expensive prices.
Half pound of brisket, $17. Half pound of pulled pork, $15. That's half pound of black pepper chicken, $15. Half pound of burnt ends with a ginger soy glaze. I was correct on that. $16. Hatch cheddar sausage, $7 each. Smoked portobello mushrooms, which I was like, yeah, keep those off of my plate. Do not let them come anywhere near my meats, please. $15 for half.
Gotta have a vegan option, bro.
No. Mushrooms are trash anyways, so.
I disagree.
Blackened chicken quarter, $14 each for each quarter with a barbecue mustard sauce. I'm telling you, that mustard sauce was probably one of the best parts about it. Crystal hop sausage, $8. Then they had a Cajun dirty rice, $8. That rice was pretty solid. Charred broccoli Caesar, that was out by the time we got up there. Mac and cheese was out by the time we got up there as well. And then Tex-Mex slaw, which was the most Oregon thing I've ever seen. Green cabbage, kale, shredded carrot with black chili vinaigrette, cotija cheese, and toasted pumpkin seeds.
Raisins. Like, yeah. What else is, you know, is in it? Like, sometimes I think we overcomplicate barbecue.
Very and we don't flat have to. Coleslaw.
Yeah. So it's all good.
All right, here. We're gonna get back on it. Enough of this egregious barbecue and waiting 3 hours. Because we do have to get to some b-ball, some round ball rock. Don't we have that somewhere? That, oh, yeah, we're here.
Basketball.
Woo! There was an awesome tweet going around this morning of the John Tesh gif on stage getting the snapping going for that live performance. And the comment was, knowing that there are two game sevens today when I wake up. It's just awesome.
Because the video of that was going around a couple weeks ago on Twitter, and I retweeted it. I was like, this should not go this hard. Like, there was that live performance you're talking about, Jordan, and just the orchestra, like the way they're just.
Listen, I don't know if there is another sports theme song that gets me more amped than.
This doesn't get you going?
Not really.
Woo!
Not really. It calms me down, though, you know, for sure. You know, hello, friends. Like, I mean, like, there's certain songs that are just like. They get you amped up, but I don't know if there's anything more than NBA on NBC, round ball rock, you know. I think a close second to that is NFL on Fox.
Ooh, that's
I think
a good
that's
one.
A close second to that. Da-da-dun, da-da-dun, get out of here, man. That's pretty dope.
I have a little bias. I mean, I just experienced this on Tuesday when I did go up to Seattle with my dad, but we literally walked in right at the start. Right at the start. It was like perfect timing. We walked into the stadium right as they were playing this over the speakers. I just got goosebumps. It made me want to cry because it's probably like the 15th game I've gone to with my dad in the last 15 years. And I just. So yeah, now the Mariners theme for me, round ball rock, and then probably this Seattle Mariners theme, I think written by some dude in the early
90s. So if we're being honest about themes, the original Trailblazers theme,
the horns,
those horns are fresh. Like, they've always been super, super dope to me.
Even in the mid 2000s, when Mike Barrett was the announcer, kind of when they did the remix of that, mm-hmm. another really good. Like, I've hated the music since then, but that peak time,
yeah.
Woo, Blazers basketball was rocking.
That's
audio
awesome
wise,
sports.
Anyways.
It's got to be round ball rock, and then got to get a headband number two for me. One for my mama, one for the mayor. And if you want to get down with the Blazers, that doesn't even rhyme.
No. Yeah. I didn't like that
one. Or is
it
players?
It's definitely not Bust a Bucket. You know, Bust a Bucket was the one.
It was like, my Bust a Bucket.
I was like in second grade when Bust a Bucket came out, first or second grade, and Cliff Robinson came to our school, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, the Got to Get a Headband, that was my Bust a Bucket, because that came out around when I was in second grade. So, yeah, let's not do that ever again, though. No more Blazers rap songs, please.
I don't know. Dame never made one Blazers rap song.
Well, I think there was a reason for that.
Could have made one, especially
he
when
made
he
his own.
Well, quite frankly, I don't think we need any more Blazers Dame rap songs, quite honestly. But, oh, dude, he was so good.
Dame could spit.
Yeah.
Dame could spit.
All right, basketball stuff, I swear, coming up next. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update. All right.
It's not Mike Jones.
No, this is CCR. I love me some CCR.
I mean, it's cool, but this is definitely not tipping on fofos.
Can we even play that on this station? Like,
sure.
Tipping?
Yeah, I think I have to find the censored version.
Sure, yeah, with Paul Wall, the people's champ. A chain light up
intercontinental
like a lamp.
Title. Remember, that was the coolest part about Paul Wall. He had the intercontinental belt with him.
At some point?
No, in the video, on the still tipping video. That's what he's, yeah.
All right. Basketball. We have two teams locked into their conference finals matchup. One that was known a couple days ago in the Boston Celtics, but I want to talk about the newest team in the conference finals. That is your Dallas Mavericks. going to the conference finals for the second time in 3 years. They beat the Oklahoma City. They come back against Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was a great game. Great finish. Back and forth. They were trading buckets towards the end of that fourth quarter, which was fun to see. And then, of course, ended on free throws, which everybody loves to see that. But don't foul, Sean. Don't foul. Or is it Shea?
I think it's Shea.
It's Shea. Or just to go SGA. Makes your life easier.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I mean, Dallas Mavericks, they get the win. They're going to the conference finals for the second time in 3 years. And the first time ever with this iteration of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And their role players, I mean, this is a completely different team, it seems like, outside of Luka. And it was 3 years ago. I mean, P.J. Washington getting buckets for them. Derek Lively, the rookie, setting his all-time high for rebounds, like 15 rebounds last night.
It's a big dunk at the end of that game, too, to put him on the line. That was huge.
The Mavericks, they have been very impressive this year. And wouldn't you know it, it's what a concept when your star players get to play together with each other as much as Kyrie and Luka did. We saw, I mean, one of the problems with the Nets a few years ago when Kyrie was on this team, like, you could not get those three dudes on the court.
There was always something injury-wise, yeah.
My God. So whether that would have been, you know, whether they would have done better if they had those guys consistently, I don't know. But patience is a virtue with this Mavericks team, man. They made the move last year to get Kyrie. It did not work out to start. And this is very similar to the Timberwolves making that move for Gobert last year. It was like, the trade happens, you give up a lot for it, and it doesn't really pay off its dividends right away. So then everybody starts to question whether it was worth it. Well, it was worth it because Kyrie Irving now a unreal 14-0 in closeout games, which is an NBA record. With and then they told me on the radio broadcast last night who had that record before him, and it was Robert Horry. And I was like, okay, well, you know, did he really close those games out?
He did.
A couple of them he did. A couple of them he did.
Like five or six that he did.
I was
going to
say at least himself. Yeah, at least five or six.
I can think
I don't know about five or six.
I can think of five or six instances where Robert Horry ended the series.
I can think of three times against the Blazers.
He did it once against Houston.
He did once against the Blazers.
He did one as Houston, one as a Laker.
He did like three as a Laker because we forget the shot at the top of the key from in Sacramento. To win that game against them, to pretty much end that series. He did the one again, same, I think, want to say the next year against the Blazers, corner pocket, you know, to knock out the Blazers.
Was that the Memorial Day? I don't think that was Horry that year. You're talking about like the early 2000s.
We played the Lakers in the first round.
Yes.
Oh, you're saying Lakers. I thought you were saying the Spurs.
We played the Lakers in the first round.
No, it was
Robert
a
three-game
series,
out. When he played for Detroit, we forget, he had the – or excuse me, for San Antonio, he had the three-pointer that put them up in game
seven. I'll give him
seven.
Three.
Or whatever it was. And then he had the big dunk over Rasheed Wallace or Ben Wallace, one of those two. Wow. Either way. And here's the cold part, Joe, kind of to what you're saying is, you know, when the deal with Minnesota happened and they get Gobert, it didn't work the first year. It's a failure, right? The Heat get together with LeBron, D. Wade, and Bosch. They don't win the first year. It's a failure. You know, they get Kyrie in Dallas. Doesn't work the first. Sometimes I can only think of maybe one instance, and that's that Celtics team in 2008
where
you put guys together,
and
they win instantly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the only other time I can think of a team being put together like that. Even when the Heat got Shaq, it took a year for them to be able to figure out exactly how to play together. And then once they did, resulted in a championship. So sometimes these things take time. And the one great thing about Kyrie and what he's doing for Dallas is he's taken a step back and really become their best perimeter defender. Like, if you look at how hard he's working on defense and the fact that he's poking balls away and that he's you know, playing great on-ball defense, like, this is something that we haven't seen from him, you know, throughout the years. He's finally become that leader that he thought he was going to be when he left Cleveland for Boston.
What a career arc for Kyrie Irving at this point, man. From where he was a year ago and what was happening with him before getting traded to Dallas, like, my God, to where now people are saying about his post-game, you know, interview, press conference, like, man, Kyrie, what a professional. It was like, damn.
The whole part, he's always been relatively professional. I mean, the whole Amazon thing rubbed a lot of people, you know, incredibly wrong. But Kyrie, for the most part, has never said anything bad about another player or coach or
no, just an entire race
else,
of people.
You know what I mean?
The earth is flat.
I mean, and I'm saying, not staying outside of that because I don't want to dismiss that part
still.
Or anything, but I'm saying Kyrie has ever been like a menace like that to the league. So his answers after during post games and things of that nature have always been basketball, you know, basketball related. And so, I mean, I think finally he's kind of coming to that point to where he knows he doesn't have to be 30 points a night and one-on-one every single time. I can play defense. I can do some other stuff to help this team win. And this is the best we've seen this Dallas team look, really, since Luka's been there.
And yeah. credit to the Mavericks for not, I mean, we've been saying it all postseason, not really just leaning on those two guys, but putting a complete team together, actually getting in role players. PJ Washington, you mentioned, having a huge series.
Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford starting out the game a lot of these
starting
times.
Starting out the series, like, really killing, man.
Well, and it's literally been, like, the first three or four buckets a lot of these games just to Gafford in the middle to try and get the offense going and kind of throw the other guys off. And then that, you got former Blazer Derek Jones Jr. hitting some big shots, making some big blocks.
Dude, and he that's one of those things where maybe we can talk about it, you know, next Sundays with Derek Jones. Like, was that a just bad timing? He wasn't ready yet as a Blazer, because it didn't really work in Chicago, but man, he has been amazing for this Dallas Mavericks team this year.
I think it's just more playing really good at the right time, but we can dive into that.
Yeah,
so less expectation for him at this point, you know, on any team. That's what I think. For Dallas, you just got to go out there and do something good. You know, for the Blazers, I think they asked him to do too much.
So the Mavericks, they beat the Thunder. And they win the series. Thunder, still young, still got a lot of great pieces on that team. Whether they keep them all or try to make another, make a move to maybe get some veteran help on there, or they just keep this core intact, we'll see. But the Thunder, they will be back.
I think you keep them intact. This is the first year that you've actually got a chance to see what this team can do, and they happen to finish with the best record in the Western Conference. Yeah, I think you let them mature as a team, and then see what you can do after that.
Minus Josh Giddey, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and it wasn't a great series for Giddey matchup-wise, so whether he's a part of this team going forward or not, I don't know what his rookie contract is like, if it's on the last one, but the Thunder, they'll be all right. As long as they got Shea, as long as they got Chet, as long as they got Jalen Williams, the better Jalen Williams of the two, because there is two, and we still can't figure out what to call each of them. The other Jalen Williams with a basket, and he passes it to the other Jalen Williams. But Dallas Mavericks, man, they are going to the Western Conference Finals, and they will be taking on one of these two teams that are playing today, the Nuggets or the Timberwolves. We will get into that next. Game 7. In the Western Conference semis between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. We do that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, Game 7s. It all starts today with the Indiana Pacers taking on the New York Knicks at 12:30 on ABC. And then at 5 o'clock on TNT is Minnesota versus Denver. And that has been a wild series from the sense of just the back and forth. Minnesota winning the first two games in Denver, looking absolutely dominant. Nobody was thinking that Denver was going to be able to come back and win this series. Denver, of course, proving everybody wrong, showing their championship mental, and winning three straight in that series to take a 3-2 lead. And with their backs against the wall, the Timberwolves with a huge blowout victory where they absolutely bitch slap the Denver Nuggets and win game 6 and go up and tie the series at 3 games apiece. And now here we are at a game 7, again, tipping off at 5 o'clock tonight. Denver is favored by 4.5 points in this one. Do you guys have, because I always like asking, like, who do you want to win and who do you think will win? Because as far as like who I want to win in this matchup, I could go either way, honestly. Usually I have a sort of, you know, leaning one way or other, but I feel like I can make a case for both, where Minnesota and Edwards, the way that he's been playing, this team has been playing, it would be great to get some fresh blood in the Western Conference Finals and see that legacy of his start to rise even more and more. But I love that big tub of mayo on that court, Nikola Jokic, and those Nuggets, dude. Like, the way they play basketball, Mike Malone, I've always loved that team. And so there's part of me where I'm happy to see either of these teams go to the Western Conference Finals. If I were to pick one,
I would say I would want to see the Nuggets go, because I just want to keep seeing the greatness of Jokic, because there's definitely a part of Jokic where people still don't respect his game and still don't respect how he plays the game. And so for him to keep proving people wrong in that sense and showing that he is one of the top 10 players of all time, perhaps, if he's able to finish off this playoff run, there is part of me that really wants it to be like, you know, like Minnesota, you can get to it later. You're still young. You still got a great piece in Ant Edwards. I want to see the Nuggets almost pull it off again to shove it back in everybody's face, especially being down 2-0.
How can I say this with and still be kind of professional? Screw the Nuggets, man. I'll say that. As a Blazer fan, it pains me to see the Nuggets and the Thunder and all these teams around us.
And the Timberwolves. Those are three teams in your division.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves do well. And honestly, I don't know if the Timberwolves have ever been like a rival to us like that, as much as maybe the Thunder have.
I don't know if the Timberwolves have been a rival to really anybody.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't feel that way. But themselves. The Nuggets have for sure been rivals of ours, as well as the Thunder. You know, so the Timberwolves, yeah. But I think Utah is they're the last team.
There was good '90s matchups between the Blazers and the Utah Jazz, early 2000s,
and even in the '90s when the Blazers were putting out Utah pretty much every year in the playoffs. So yes, like because of that, it pains me to think that Jokic is on his way to a potential second championship with this Denver squad. And you're right, he's the best player in basketball. I don't like watching his game. It just looks so like clumsy and unorthodox, but it works. Like it's the oddest thing that I've ever seen. The NBA, all these players, we just talked about Kyrie, his game is so pretty and so fluid, and everything he does, like, wow, that was amazing. Jokic just almost looks like an accident most of the time, but he kills, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see the Nuggets win, you know, another one. You know, I'm a big Tim Duncan fan, but I hated watching the Spurs play sometime, and that's how I feel about the Nuggets. It's like, it's great basketball, but it's kind of boring at a point, you know, but I guess when you win that much, it gets boring. You know, ask the Warriors from the mid, 2010s and stuff like that. Like when you're killing like that, sometimes people get kind of tired of it. And I guess I'm no exception, but I'm looking for Ant Edwards and this Minnesota team to win. I would love to see another new champion. You know, I like dynasties and everything, but I'd love to see new teams kind of pop up and win, which is kind of the cool part about like baseball. Like very seldom do you get the same team winning over and over again, unlike the early 1900s. And
Rashad Taylor, a notable baseball fan.
I'm saying, like, I mean, you know the dynasties, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we don't see as much of that anymore. They might win every few years, we don't see as much of that, and I'd like to see more parity in the NBA. And
your wish will be granted when my Orioles get to the World Series this year, buddy. Don't you worry.
Okay? Hey, they got to beat the Mariners in this series first.
Hey, we got a rubber match. I was not happy about yesterday.
Pipe dreaming about something that's never going to happen.
40 minutes away.
You shut your mouth.
Never
going
to happen.
Kirby's going to strike your team out 8 times today, Joe. You jerk. I doubt it, actually. You're probably going to hit 4 homers off of him.
Well, honestly, when he only throws 70 pitches per game, it's hard to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, he bitches if he throws any more. Rashad, now, I got to respond to your point about Jokic. Is it the fact that he's not just really covering up for the rest of his team's faults? Like, that's kind of why he looks so trash at points, because he's essentially doing everything. I mean, the Nuggets, I don't feel like he's the problem with Denver. I feel like problem is, at some points, roster construction. You got Jackson coming off the bench. You got other guys that are really good at times, but then you're literally starting a KCP. Caldwell Pope's gone scoreless. It feels like half these games of the playoffs so far.
I think
kind of just leave it up to Jokic, and he has to look how he looks, because literally that's all they've got.
When I say that, I don't mean like, it looks like he's not supposed to be as good as he is, based on the fact that he, you know, he's a little pudgier than most guys that we've seen play in the NBA. Sometimes he just kind of looks a little bit uncoordinated and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when he throws shots up around the rim, sometimes it's like, how did that go in?
Because he's good.
What is that?
Because he's great.
because he's good, you know, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily look pretty. And I think that's all I'm kind of saying. But as a passer and all that stuff, man, Jokic is brilliant. Like, it's the way he's frustrating in the way that Steph Curry was frustrating. It's like, man, that's probably going in. That's probably whatever he does. That's the right pass. That's the right look. That was a great rebound. Like, everything he does is the right thing to do. And I feel like if he wins another one, like, he's going to run off a few of them. Like, because there's no center in the league that can guard him. We watched him torch Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year, quote unquote. We'll put an asterisk next to that because that should be Wemby's award. But whatever. But we watched him absolutely torch him. Like, there was nothing he could do. Left hand, right hand, under the rim, you know, jump shot, behind the back pass. And Aaron Gordon, you know, I think their team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You don't need another superstar. I think the thing that they have in Jamal Murray is still very unstoppable. When he's hitting shots, like, name another guard that's not Jalen Brunson that can get as many buckets from the point guard position as Jamal Murray can at a high clip.
You know, Trey Young for a nobody team.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really, really short list, you know, of guys that can get buckets like that when he's on. So I think this team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You got dogs like Aaron Gordon. When KCP is hitting, Michael Porter Jr. is going to shoot. So you don't ever have to worry about his confidence being shaken, you know, one way or the other. So he's going to knock down a bunch of shots. I think you have a bunch of people around him that just want to win. And whatever you need, Jokic, I'm going to be right there. And so it's frustrating basketball to watch if you're not a fan of those teams or of that team. But I'm pulling for Minnesota, but I do think the Nuggets are going to win. But I'm definitely pulling for Minnesota.
Can I ask you guys one quick question before we get out of here?
Let's go.
All right, Rudy Gobert, obviously back today for Game 7. If this were the game that he would have been maybe questioned to miss, like if he were going now for the birth of his child, would it be a problem? Would you guys all say? Because Rashad and I had this debate last week when you were gone, Joe, and I kind of was on the side of not necessarily wondering, hey, is he... I'm not trying to bag the dude for missing a game. What I'm trying to say is people that are making that much money have a responsibility to their team in prime time in the playoffs. Rashad at the point of, you know, if it's game 6 or 7 of a series or if you're in the conference finals, that's kind of when it starts to become more of a question. So I ask, we are in this situation now. Let's just throw a hypothetical out there. It's not game 2. It's game 7. If Rudy Gobert were gone, would that be a big deal? Because this is kind of where you start to really question it, right?
If it was game 7 and he had the birth of his child imminent and it was a decision whether to play game 7 or be there for the birth of your child, do whatever you want, dude. If you want to go be there for your kid, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever, you know, and be there for that moment, I do not blame you whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm
because also it worked out in game 2.
Very well for Minnesota. Yeah, I mean,
hell, he wasn't there and they won that fine. So I guess you just got to leave it up to the sports gods at that point. And, you know, also your teammates, hopefully they rally around the fact that, like, hey, we're going to be down a guy, but we understand why. And also, people are just built different. Some people, they have missed their child's birth because of going to play in their game going to participate in their game. So, you know, it's hard for me to say what is the right, wrong decision. Like, and if I were ever put in a high, very high moment like that, being in a conference finals game, for God's sakes, like, so it's easy for me to say, like, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. And I'll back you on that. If I were his teammate, again, you can't really be mad at that. Like, if it was just like, oh, I got a family function, I got to stand in a barbecue line for 3 hours, then I would obviously be pissed. But for the birth of your first child, especially the first one, that's a tough one for me to be like, bro, do you even care about the team? Like, that's, and again, in this hypothetical of a game 7, I get it, very important game, but hopefully for him and this Timberwolves team, there will be plenty of more playoff matchups for them in the future.
I 100% agree. You know, for me as a dad, like, I'm remembering that moment when my son was born, I'm not missing that. Like, I mean, I totally understand where people are coming from, but this is where fans and that being a fanatic is sometimes a little too much. Sometimes we got to remember these people are just that, man. They're people, yeah. And they have other interests outside of.
They are special. They are very special. They are
not.
People.
They are not cattle. You know what I'm saying?
No,
they are
not.
They are not racehorses that they do what you want to when you want them to, like. They have real
not
responsibilities outside of, like, this is a job. Like, and if I was at a regular job, if it's the fourth quarter of something in a job and, man, this is due, but the birth of my son is coming, hey, man, y'all going to have to understand that I'm not going to be here for that. And it's
But he's not flipping drinks. He is literally a $40 million center for an NBA team.
Again, but it is, we have to continue to say this. This is a job. It is a job. It is. It's what it is. And if I can't take time away from my job to be with my family, I know we're against it. Let's say something tragic happened, and we're knocking on wood. Let's say something tragic happened, and he lost the baby, or more than that, end up losing his wife. You know, like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right.
This is not Mike Jones.
No, this is CCR. I love me some CCR.
I mean, it's cool, but this is definitely not tipping on faux-fos.
Can we even play that on this station? Like,
sure.
Tipping?
Yeah, I think I have to find the censored version.
Sure, yeah, with Paul Wall, the people's champ. I'm a chain light up like a lamp.
Title. I remember that was the coolest part about Paul Wall. He had the Intercontinental belt with him.
At some point?
No, in the video, on the still tipping video. That's what he's, yeah.
What the hell is that? No, don't do it.
All right. Basketball. We have two teams locked into their conference finals matchup. One that was known a couple days ago in the Boston Celtics, but I want to talk about the newest team in the conference finals. That is your Dallas Mavericks. Going to the conference finals for the second time in 3 years. They beat the Oklahoma City. They come back against Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was a great game. Great finish. Back and forth. They were trading buckets towards the end of that fourth quarter, which was fun to see. And then, of course, ended on free throws, which everybody loves to see that. But don't foul, Shy. Don't foul. Or is it Shea?
I think it's Shea.
It's Shea. Or just go SGA. Makes your life easier.
Yes, it does. Dallas Mavericks, they get the win. They're going to the conference finals for the second time in 3 years. And the first time ever with this iteration of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And their role players, I mean, this is a completely different team, it seems like, outside of Luka than it was 3 years ago.
I mean, P.J. Washington getting buckets for them. Derek Lively, the rookie, setting his all-time high for rebounds, like 15 rebounds last night.
It's a big dunk at the end of that game, too, to put him on the line. That was huge.
The Mavericks, they have been very impressive this year. And wouldn't you know it, it's what a concept when your star players get to play together with each other as much as Kyrie and Luka did. We saw, I mean, one of the problems with the Nets a few years ago when Kyrie was on this team, like, you could not get those three dudes on the court.
There was always something injury-wise, yeah.
My God. So whether that would have been, you know, whether they would have done better if they had those guys consistently, I don't know. But patience is a virtue with this Mavericks team, man. They made the move last year to get Kyrie. It did not work out to start. And this is very similar to the Timberwolves making that move for Gobert last year. It was like, the trade happens, you give up a lot for it, and it doesn't really pay off its dividends right away. So then everybody starts to question whether it was worth it. Well, it was worth it because Kyrie Irving now a unreal 14-0 in closeout games, which is an NBA record. With and then they told me on the radio broadcast last night who had that record before him, and it was Robert Horry. And I was like, okay, well, you know, did he really close those games out?
He did.
A couple of them he did. A couple of them he did.
Like five or six that he did.
I was
going to
say,
you know,
at least himself. Yeah. Yeah, at least five or six.
I can think
I don't
of
know
a
about
few.
Five or six.
Maybe no, like, I can think of five or six instances where Robert Horry ended the series.
I can think of three times against the Blazers.
He did it
he
once
did
against
it.
Houston.
He did once against the Blazers.
He did one as Houston, one as a Laker.
He did three as a Laker because we forget the shot at the top of the key from in Sacramento. To win that game against them, to pretty much end that series. He did the one against the next year against the Blazers, corner pocket, you know, to knock out the Blazers.
Was that the Memorial Day? I don't think that was Horry that year. You're talking about like the early 2000s.
It was we played the Lakers in the first round.
Yes.
Oh, you're saying Lakers. I thought you were saying the Spurs.
We played the Lakers in the first round.
No, it was
Robert
a
three Horry
game series.
Out.
Yeah.
When he played for Detroit, we forget he had the. Or excuse me, for San Antonio, he had the three-pointer that put them up in game.
All right, I'll give him
seven
three.
Or whatever it was.
I'll
and he had
three.
The big dunk over Rasheed Wallace or Ben Wallace, one of those two. Fine. Either way, and here's the cold part, Joe, kind of to what you're saying is, you know, when the deal with Minnesota happened and they get Gobert, it didn't work the first year. It's a failure, right? The Heat get together with LeBron, D. Wade, and Bosch. They don't win the first year. It's a failure. You know, they get Kyrie in Dallas, doesn't work the first. Sometimes I can only think of maybe one instance, and that's that Celtics team in 2008,
where
you put guys together,
and
they win instantly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the only other time I can think of a team being put together like that. Even when the Heat got Shaq, it took a year for them to be able to figure out exactly how to play together. And then once they did, resulted in a championship. So sometimes these things take time. And the one great thing about Kyrie and what he's doing for Dallas is he's taken a step back and really become their best perimeter defender. Like, if you look at how hard he's working on defense and the fact that he's poking balls away and that he's you know, playing great on-ball defense, like, this is something that we haven't seen from him, you know, throughout the years. He's finally become that leader that he thought he was going to
be
when he left Boston.
Where,
or when he left Cleveland for Boston.
Where... What a career arc for Kyrie Irving at this point, man. From where he was a year ago and what was happening with him before getting traded to Dallas, like, my God, to where now people are saying about his post-game, you know, interview, press conference, like, man, Kyrie, what a professional. It was like, damn.
And the cool part, he's always been relatively professional. I mean, the whole Amazon thing rubbed a lot of people, you know, incredibly wrong. But Kyrie, for the most part, has never said anything bad about another player or coach or
no, just an entire race
else,
of people.
You know what I mean?
The earth is flat.
I mean, and I'm saying, not staying outside of that because I don't want to dismiss that part
still.
Or anything, but I'm saying Kyrie has never been like a menace like that to the league. So his answers after during post games and things of that nature have always been basketball, you know, basketball related. And so, I mean, I think finally he's kind of coming to that point to where he knows he doesn't have to be 30 points a night and one-on-one every single time. I can play defense. I can do some other stuff to help this team win. And this is the best we've seen this Dallas team look, really, since Luka's been there.
And yeah. credit to the Mavericks for not, I mean, we've been saying it all postseason, not really just leaning on those two guys, but putting a complete team together, actually getting in role players. PJ Washington, you mentioned, having a huge series.
Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford starting out the game a lot of these
starting
times.
Starting out the series, like, really killing, man.
Well, and it's literally been, like, the first three or four buckets a lot of these games just to Gafford in the middle to try and get the offense going and kind of throw the other guys off. And then that, you got former Blazer Derrick Jones Jr. hitting some big shots, making some big blocks.
Dude, and he that's one of those things where maybe we can talk about it, you know, next Sundays with Derrick Jones. Like, was that a just bad timing? He wasn't ready yet as a Blazer, because it didn't really work in Chicago, but man, he has been amazing for this Dallas Mavericks team this year.
I think it's just more playing really good at the right time, but we can dive into that.
Yeah,
so less expectation for him at this point, you know, on any team. That's what I think. For Dallas, you just got to go out there and do something good. You know, for the Blazers, I think they asked him to do too much.
So the Mavericks, they beat the Thunder. And they win the series. Thunder, still young, still got a lot of great pieces on that team. Whether they keep them all or try to make another, make a move to maybe get some veteran help on there, or they just keep this core intact, we'll see. But the Thunder, they will be back.
I think you keep them intact. This is the first year that you've actually got a chance to see what this team can do, and they happen to finish with the best record in the Western Conference. Yeah, I think you let them mature as a team, and then see what you can do after that.
Minus Josh Giddey, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and it wasn't a great series for Giddey matchup-wise, so whether he's a part of this team going forward or not, I don't know what his rookie contract is like, if it's on the last one, but the Thunder, they'll be all right. As long as they got Shea, as long as they got Chet, as long as they got Jalen Williams, the better Jalen Williams of the two, because there is two, and we still can't figure out what to call each of them. The other Jalen Williams with a basket, and he passes it to the other Jalen Williams. But Dallas Mavericks, man, they are going to the Western Conference Finals, and they will be taking on one of these two teams that are playing today, the Nuggets or the Timberwolves. We will get into that next. Game 7. In the Western Conference semis between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. We do that next year. Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right, game sevens. It all starts today with the Indiana Pacers taking on the New York Knicks at 12:30 on ABC. And then at 5 o'clock on TNT is Minnesota versus Denver. And that has been a wild series from the sense of just the back and forth. Minnesota winning the first two games in Denver, looking absolutely dominant. Nobody was thinking that Denver was going to be able to come back and win this series. Denver, of course, proving everybody wrong, showing their championship mental, and winning three straight in that series to take a 3-2 lead. And with their backs against the wall, the Timberwolves with a huge blowout victory where they absolutely bitch slap the Denver Nuggets and win game 6 and go up and tie the series at 3 games apiece. And now here we are at a game 7, again tipping off at 5 o'clock tonight. Denver is favored by 4.5 points in this one. Do you guys have, because I always like asking, like, who do you want to win and who do you think will win? Because as far as like who I want to win in this matchup, I could go either way, honestly. Usually I have a sort of, you know, leaning one way or other, but I feel like I can make a case for both, where Minnesota and Edwards, the way that he's been playing, this team has been playing, it would be great to get some fresh blood in the Western Conference Finals and see that legacy of his start to rise even more and more. But I love that big tub of mayo on that court, Nikola Jokic, and those Nuggets, dude. Like, the way they play basketball, Mike Malone, I've always loved that team. And so there's part of me where I'm happy to see either of these teams go to the Western Conference Finals. If I were to pick one, I would say I would want to see the Nuggets go, because I just want to keep seeing the greatness of Jokic. Because there's definitely a part of Jokic where people still don't respect his game and still don't respect how he plays the game. And so for him to keep proving people wrong in that sense and showing that he is one of the top 10 players of all time, perhaps, if he's able to finish off this playoff run, there is part of me that really wants it to be like, you know, like Minnesota, you can get to it later. You're still young. You still got a great piece in Ant Edwards. I want to see the Nuggets almost pull it off again to shove it back in everybody's face, especially being down 2-0.
How can I say this with and still be kind of professional? Screw the Nuggets, man. I'll say that. As a Blazer fan, it pains me to see the Nuggets and the Thunder and all these teams around us.
And the Timberwolves. Those are three teams in your division.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves do well. And honestly, I don't know if the Timberwolves have ever been like a rival to us like that as much as maybe the Thunder have.
I don't know if the Timberwolves have been a rival to really anybody.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't feel that way. But themselves. The Nuggets have for sure been rivals of ours, as well as the Thunder. You know, so the Timberwolves, yeah. But I think Utah is they're the last team.
There was good division. 90s matchups between the Blazers and the Utah Jazz, yeah, early 2000s.
And even in the 90s when the Blazers were putting out Utah pretty much every year in the playoffs. So yes, like because of that, it pains me to think that Jokic is on his way to a potential second championship with this Denver squad. And you're right, he's the best player in basketball. I don't like watching his game. It just looks so like clumsy and unorthodox, but it works. Like it's the oddest thing that I've ever seen. The NBA, all these players, we just talked about Kyrie, his game is so pretty and so fluid. And everything he does, like, wow, that was amazing. Jokic just almost looks like an accident most of the time, but he kills and there's nothing you can do about it. But I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see the Nuggets win, you know, another one. You know, I'm a big Tim Duncan fan, but I hated watching the Spurs play sometime, and that's how I feel about the Nuggets. It's like, it's great basketball, but it's kind of boring at a point, you know, but I guess when you win that much, it gets boring. You know, ask the Warriors from the mid, 2010s and stuff like that. Like when you're killing like that, sometimes people get kind of tired of it. And I guess I'm no exception. But I'm looking for Ann Edwards and this Minnesota team to win. I would love to see another new champion. You know, I like dynasties and everything, but I'd love to see new teams kind of pop up and win, which is kind of the cool part about like baseball. Like very seldom do you get
a lot of parity.
Yeah, very seldom do you get the same team winning over and over again, unlike the early 1900s. And
Rashad Taylor, a notable baseball fan.
I'm saying, like, I mean, you know the dynasties, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we don't see as much of that anymore. They might win every few years, but we don't see as much of that, and I'd like to see more parity in the NBA.
Your wish will be granted when my Orioles get to the World Series this year, buddy. Don't you worry.
Okay. Hey, they got to beat the Mariners in this series first.
Hey, we got a rubber match. I was not happy about yesterday.
Pipe dreaming about something that's never going to happen.
40 minutes away.
Shut your mouth.
Never
going
to happen.
Kirby's going to strike your team out 8 times today, Joe. You jerk. And I doubt it, actually. You're probably going to hit 4 homers off of him.
Well, when he only throws 70 pitches per game, it's hard to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, he bitches if he throws any more. Rashad, now I got to respond to your point about Jokic. Is it the fact that he's not just really covering up for the rest of his team's faults? Like, that's kind of why he looks so trash at points, because he's essentially doing everything. I mean, the Nuggets, I don't feel like he's the problem with Denver. I feel like problem is, at some points, roster construction. You got Jackson coming off the bench. You got other guys that are really good at times, but then you're literally starting a KCP. Caldwell Pope's gone scoreless. It feels like half these games of the playoffs so far.
I think,
kind of just leave it up to Jokic, and he has to look how he looks, because literally that's all they've got.
When I say that, I don't mean like it looks like he's not supposed to be as good as he is, based on the fact that he's a little pudgier than most guys that we've seen play in the NBA. Sometimes he just kind of looks a little bit uncoordinated and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when he throws shots up around the rim, sometimes it's like, how did that go in?
Because he's good.
What is that?
Because he's great.
Because he's good, you know. But sometimes it doesn't necessarily look pretty. And I think that's all I'm kind of saying. But as a passer and all that stuff, man, Jokic is brilliant. Like, it's the way he's frustrating, in the way that Steph Curry was frustrating. It's like, man, that's probably going in. That's probably whatever he does. That's the right pass. That's the right look. That was a great rebound. Like, everything he does is the right thing to do. And I feel like if he wins another one, like, he's going to run off a few of them. Like, cause there's no center in the league that can guard him. We watched him torch Rudy Gobert, defensive player of the year, quote unquote. We'll put an asterisk next to that, because that should be Wemby's award. But whatever. But we watched him absolutely torch him. Like, there was nothing he could do. Left hand, right hand, under the rim, you know, jump shot, behind the back pass. And Aaron Gordon, you know, I think their team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You don't need another superstar. I think the thing that they have in Jamal Murray is still very unstoppable. When he's hitting shots, like, name another guard that's not Jalen Brunson that can get as many buckets from the point guard position as Jamal Murray can at a high clip.
You know, Trey Young for a nobody team.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really, yeah, really short list, you know, of guys that can get buckets like that when he's on. So I think this team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You got dogs like Aaron Gordon. When KCP is hitting, Michael Porter Jr. is going to shoot. So you don't ever have to worry about his confidence being shaken, you know, one way or the other. So he's going to knock down a bunch of shots. I think you have a bunch of people around him that just want to win. And whatever you need, Jokic, I'm going to be right there. And so it's frustrating basketball to watch if you're not a fan of those teams or of that team. But I'm pulling for Minnesota, but I do think the Nuggets are going to win. But I'm definitely pulling for Minnesota.
Can I ask you guys one quick question before we get out of here?
Let's go.
All right, Rudy Gobert, obviously back today for Game 7. If this were the game that he would have been maybe questioned to miss, like if he were going now for the birth of his child, would it be a problem? Would you guys all say, because Rashad and I had this debate last week when you were gone, Joe, and I kind of was on the side of not necessarily wondering, hey, is he... I'm not trying to bag the dude for missing a game. What I'm trying to say is people that are making that much money have a responsibility to their team in prime time in the playoffs. Rashad at the point of, you know, if it's game 6 or 7 of a series, or if you're in the conference finals, that's kind of when it starts to become more of a question. So I ask, we are in this situation now. Let's just throw a hypothetical out there. It's not game 2. It's game 7. If Rudy Gobert were gone, would that be a big deal? Because this is kind of where you start to really question it, right?
If it was game 7 and he had the birth of his child imminent and it was a decision whether to play game 7 or be there for the birth of your child, do whatever you want, dude. You want to go be there for your kid, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever, you know, and be there for that moment. I do not blame you whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm
because also it worked out in game 2.
Very well for Minnesota.
I mean, hell, he wasn't there and they won that fine. So I guess you just got to leave it up to the sports gods at that point. And, you know, also your teammates, hopefully they rally around the fact that, like, hey, we're going to be down a guy, but we understand why. And also, people are just built different. Some people, they have missed their child's birth because of going to play in their game or going to participate in their game. So, you know, it's hard for me to say what is the right, wrong decision. Like, and if I were ever put in a high, very high moment like that, being in a conference finals game, for God's sakes, like, so it's easy for me to say, like, oh, yeah, do whatever you want, and I'll back you on that. If I were his teammate, again, you can't really be mad at that. Like, if it was just like, oh, I got a family function, I got to stand in the barbecue line for 3 hours, then I would obviously be pissed. But for the birth of your first child, especially the first one, that's a tough one for me to be like, bro, do you even care about the team? Like, that's – and again, in this hypothetical of a game 7, I get it, very important game, but – hopefully for him and this Timberwolves team, there will be plenty of more playoff matchups for them in the future.
I 100% agree. You know, for me as a dad, like, I'm remembering that moment when my son was born. I'm not missing that. Like, I mean, I totally understand where people are coming from, but this is where fans and that being a fanatic is sometimes a little too much. Sometimes we got to remember these people are just that, man. They're people, yeah, and they have other interests outside of
they are special.
Sports,
they are very special.
They are
privileged
not.
People.
They are not cattle. You know what I'm saying?
No,
they are
not.
They are not race horses that they do what you want to when you want them to. Like, they have real responsibilities outside of, like, this is a job. Like, and if I was at a regular job, if it's the fourth quarter of something in a job, and man, this is due, but the birth of my son is coming. Hey, man, y'all gonna have to understand that I'm not going to
be out
here for that. And it's,
I get,
I mean,
it, but he's not flipping drinks. He is literally a $40 million center
team. But we have to continue to say this. This is a job. It is a job. It's what it is. And if I can't take time away from my job to be with my family. What, again, I know we have, we're against it. Let's say something tragic happened and we're knocking on wood. Let's say something tragic happened and he lost the baby, or more than that, end up losing his wife. You know, like all of a sudden, how silly do you look because you decided to stay at a game seven in the second round of the playoffs instead of being there for your wife and kid? Like, that's crazy. And mind you, that's, it's super extreme, but you have to kind of consider all these, you know, all these things. Like, you don't want to, you're not going to miss that moment.
Well, I'm just thinking of like, how ridiculous would it be if teams were like, all right, we have a team rule. You can only conceive a child during this time of the year.
Yeah, so,
because if it falls within May or June when we're in playoffs, buddy, we're fining your ass.
You have to abstain in the month of September because that's about 8-9 months.
Whatever the 9 months
is. Yeah, you guys, every year, you've got, all right, abstinence month, go.
So yeah, like NFL playoffs, Super Bowl run, like, all right, March, April, May, whatever, you can't. You can't be conceiving. You can't be doing it.
I think that's
then.
A really good idea. Actually.
No, that is a terrible idea.
It's an awful idea.
Get out of here.
It's an awful idea.
Stop. Oh, my God. All right, we're up against it. We go into hour number two because we have another game seven today.
Oh.
And then we got to talk about that criminal, that felon on the PGA Tour.
Oh, okay.
Who? Did we not know? Is there someone in this room?
I said Diddy.
Oh, Diddy. Oh, well,
I thought that's who you're going to talk about. Okay.
No. Yes, we will get to that just piece of garbage. I cannot believe him. Lock him up. Throw him in the slammer for the rest of his career. We will get to all of that next. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right. Game sevens. It all starts today with the Indiana Pacers taking on the New York Knicks at 12:30 on ABC. And then at 5 o'clock on TNT is Minnesota versus Denver. And that has been a wild series from the sense of just the back and forth. Minnesota winning the first two games in Denver, looking absolutely dominant. Nobody was thinking that Denver was going to be able to come back and win this series. Denver, of course, proving everybody wrong, showing their championship mental, and winning three straight in that series to take a 3-2 lead. And with their backs against the wall, the Timberwolves with a huge blowout victory where they absolutely bitch slap the Denver Nuggets and win game six and go up and tie the series at 3 games apiece. And now here we are at a game seven, again, tipping off at 5 o'clock tonight. Denver is favored by 4.5 points in this one. Do you guys have, because I always like asking, like, who do you want to win and who do you think will win? Because as far as like who I want to win in this matchup, I could go either way, honestly. Usually I have a sort of, you know, leaning one way or other, but I feel like I can make a case for both, where Minnesota and Edwards, the way that he's been playing, this team has been playing, it would be great to get some fresh blood in the Western Conference Finals and see that legacy of his start to rise even more and more. But I love that big tub of mayo on that court, Nikola Jokic, and those Nuggets, dude. Like, the way they play basketball, Mike Malone, I've always loved that team. And so there's part of me where I'm happy to see either of these teams go to the Western Conference Finals. If I were to pick one, I would say I would want to see the Nuggets go, because I just want to keep seeing the greatness of Jokic. Because there's definitely a part of Jokic where people still don't respect his game and still don't respect how he plays the game. And so for him to keep proving people wrong in that sense and showing that he is one of the top 10 players of all time, perhaps, if he's able to finish off this playoff run, there is part of me that really wants it to be like, you know, like Minnesota, you can get to it later. You're still young. You still got a great piece in Edwards. I want to see the Nuggets almost pull it off again to shove it back in everybody's face, especially being down 2-0.
How can I say this with and still be kind of professional? Screw the Nuggets, man. I'll say that. As a Blazer fan, it pains me to see the Nuggets and the Thunder and all these teams around us.
And the Timberwolves. Those are three teams, you know, in your division.
Yeah, and the Timberwolves do well. And honestly, I don't know if the Timberwolves have ever been like a rival to us like that, as much as maybe the Thunder have.
I don't know
as
if the Timberwolves have been a rival to really anybody.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't feel that way. But themselves. The Nuggets have for sure been rivals of ours, as well as the Thunder, you know. So the Timberwolves, yeah, but I think Utah is they're the last team.
There was good division. 90s matchups between the Blazers and the Utah Jazz, yeah, early 2000s.
And even in the 90s when the Blazers were putting out Utah pretty much every year in the playoffs. So yes, like, because of that, it pains me to think that Jokic is on his way to a potential second championship with this Denver squad. And you're right, he's the best player in basketball. I don't like watching his game. It just looks so like clumsy and unorthodox, but it works. Like, it's the oddest thing that I've ever seen. The NBA, all these players, we just talked about Kyrie, his game is so pretty and so fluid, and everything he does, like, wow, that was amazing. Jokic just almost looks like an accident most of the time, but he kills, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I mean, I don't know. I don't want to see the Nuggets win, you know, another one. You know, I'm a big Tim Duncan fan, but I hated watching the Spurs play sometime, and that's how I feel about the Nuggets. It's like, it's great basketball, but it's kind of boring at a point, you know. But I guess when you win that much, it gets boring. You know, ask the Warriors from the mid, you know, 2010s and stuff like that. Like, when you're killing like that, sometimes people get kind of tired of it. And I guess I'm no exception. But I'm looking for Ann Edwards and this Minnesota team to win. I would love to see another new champion. You know, I like dynasties and everything, but I'd love to see new teams kind of pop up and win, which is kind of the cool part about, like, baseball. Like, very seldom do you get
a lot of parity.
Yeah, very seldom do you get the same team winning over and over again, unlike the early 1900s. And
Rashad Taylor, a notable baseball fan.
I'm saying, like, I mean, you know the dynasties, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and we don't see as much of that anymore. They might win every few years, but we don't see as much of that. And I'd like to see more parity in the NBA. And
your wish will be granted when my Orioles get to the World Series this year, buddy. Don't you worry.
Okay? Hey, they got to beat the Mariners in this series first.
Hey, we got a rubber match. I was not happy about yesterday.
Pipe dreaming about something that's never going to happen.
40 minutes away.
Shut your mouth.
Never going to happen.
Kirby's going to strike your team out 8 times today, Joe, you jerk. And I doubt it, actually. You're probably going to hit 4 homers off of him.
Well, honestly, when you only throw 70 pitches per game, it's hard to do that. So.
Yeah, well, he bitches if he throws any more. Rashad, now, I got to respond to your point about Jokic. Is it the fact that he's not just really covering up for the rest of his team's faults? Like, that's kind of why he looks so trash at points, because he's essentially doing everything. I mean, the Nuggets, I don't feel like he's the problem with Denver. I feel like their problem is at some points, roster construction. You got Jackson coming off the bench. You got other guys that are really good at times, but then you're literally starting a KCP. Caldwell Pope's gone scoreless. It feels like half these games of the playoffs so far.
I think,
kind of just leave it up to Jokic, and he has to look how he looks because literally that's all they've got.
When I say that, I don't mean like. It looks like he's not supposed to be as good as he is based on the fact that he, you know, he's a little pudgier than most guys that we've seen play in the NBA. Sometimes he just kind of looks a little bit uncoordinated and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like when he throws shots up around the rim, sometimes it's like, how did that go in?
Because he's good.
What is that?
Because he's great.
Good. Because he's good, you know, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily look pretty. And I think that's all I'm kind of saying. But as a passer and all that stuff, man, Jokic is brilliant. Like, it's the way he's frustrating in the way that Steph Curry was frustrating. It's like, man, that's probably going in. That's probably whatever he does. That's the right pass. That's the right look. That was a great rebound. Like, everything he does is the right thing to do. And I feel like if he wins another one, like, he's going to run off a few of them. Like, because there's no center in the league that can guard him. We watched him torch Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year, quote unquote. We'll put an asterisk next to that because that should be Wemby's award, but whatever. But we watched him absolutely torch him. Like, there was nothing he could do. Left hand, right hand, under the rim, you know, jump shot, behind the back pass. And Aaron Gordon, you know, I think their team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You don't need another superstar. I think the thing that they have in Jamal Murray is still very unstoppable. When he's hitting shots, like, name another guard that's not Jalen Brunson that can get as many buckets from the point guard position as Jamal Murray can at a high clip. You know,
Trae Young for a nobody team.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really, really short list, you know, of guys that can get buckets like that when he's on. So I think this team is constructed perfectly for Jokic. You got dogs like Aaron Gordon. When KCP is hitting, Michael Porter Jr. is going to shoot. So you don't ever have to worry about his confidence being shaken, you know, one way or the other. So he's going to knock down a bunch of shots. I think you have a bunch of people around him that just want to win. And whatever you need, Jokic, I'm going to be right there. And so it's frustrating basketball to watch if you're not a fan of those teams or of that team. But I'm pulling for Minnesota, but I do think the Nuggets are going to win. But I'm definitely pulling for Minnesota.
Can I ask you guys one quick question before we get out of here?
Let's go.
All right, Rudy Gobert, obviously back today for Game 7. If this were the game that he would have been maybe questioned to miss, like if he were going now for the birth of his child, would it be a problem? Would you guys all say, because Rashad and I had this debate last week when you were gone, Joe, and I kind of was on the side of not necessarily wondering, hey, is he... I'm not trying to bag the dude for missing a game. What I'm trying to say is people that are making that much money have a responsibility to their team in prime time in the playoffs. Rashad at the point of, you know, if it's game 6 or 7 of a series or if you're in the conference finals, that's kind of when it starts to become more of a question. So I ask, we are in this situation now. Let's just throw a hypothetical out there. It's not game 2. It's game 7. If Rudy Gobert were gone, would that be a big deal? Because this is kind of where you start to really question it, right?
If it was game 7 and he had the birth of his child imminent and it was a decision whether to play game 7 or be there for the birth of your child, do whatever you want, dude. You want to go be there for your kid, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever, you know, and be there for that moment. I do not blame you whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm
because also it worked out in game 2.
Very well for Minnesota. I mean,
hell, he wasn't there, and they won that fine. So I guess you just got to
fair point.
You just got to leave it up to the sports gods at that point, and you know, also your teammates. Hopefully, they rally around the fact that, like, hey, we're going to be down a guy, but we understand why. And also, people are just built different. Some people they have missed their child's birth because of going to play in their game or going to participate in their game. So. You know, it's hard for me to say what is the right, wrong decision. Like, and if I were ever put in a high, very high moment like that, being in a conference finals game, for God's sakes, like, so it's easy for me to say, like, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. And I'll back you on that. If I were his teammate, again, you can't really be mad at that. Like, if it was just like, oh, I got a family function, I got to stand in a barbecue line for 3 hours. Then I would obviously be pissed. But for the birth of your first child, especially the first one. That's a tough one for me to be like, bro, do you even care about the team? Like, that's, and again, in this hypothetical of a game seven, I get it. Very important game, but hopefully for him and this Timberwolves team, there will be plenty of more playoff matchups for them in the future.
I 100% agree. You know, for me as a dad, like, I'm remembering that moment when my son was born. I'm not missing that. Like, I mean, I totally understand where people are coming from, but this is where fans and that being a fanatic is sometimes a little too much. Sometimes we got to remember these people are just that, man. They're people, yeah. And they have other interests outside of
they are special. Sports, they are very special. They are
not.
People.
They are not cattle. You know what I'm saying?
No,
they are
not.
They are not race horses that they do what you want to when you want them to, like. They have real responsibilities outside of, like, this is a job. Like, and if I was at a regular job, if it's the fourth quarter of something in a job and, man, this is due, but the birth of my son is coming, hey, man, y'all going to have to understand that I'm not going to be here for that. And it's,
I get,
I mean,
it, but he's not flipping drinks. He is literally a $40 million center
team. But it is, we have to continue to say this. This is a job. It is a job. It is. It's what it is. And if I can't take time away from my job to be with my family, what? Again, I know we're against it. Let's say something tragic happened, and we're knocking on wood. Let's say something tragic happened, and he lost the baby, or more than that, end up losing his wife. You know, like, all of a sudden, how silly do you look because you decided to stay at a game seven in the second round of the playoffs instead of being there for your wife and kid? Like, that's crazy. And mind you, it's super extreme, but you have to kind of consider all these, you know, all these things. Like, you don't want to, you're not going to miss that moment.
Well, I'm just thinking of, like, how ridiculous would it be if teams were like, all right, we have a team rule. You can only conceive a child during this time of the year.
Yeah, so,
because if it falls within May or June when we're in playoffs, buddy, we're fining your ass.
You have to abstain in the month of September because that's about 8-9 months.
Whatever the 9 months.
Yeah, is, yeah, you guys, every year, you've got, all right, abstinence month, go.
So yeah, like NFL playoffs, Super Bowl run, like, all right, March, April, May, whatever, you can't. You can't be conceiving. You can't be doing it.
I think that's
then.
A really good idea. Actually.
No, that is a terrible idea.
It's an awful idea.
Get out of here.
It's an awful idea.
Stop. Oh, my God. All right, we're up against it. We go into hour number two because we have another game seven today.
Oh.
And then we got to talk about that criminal, that felon on the PGA Tour.
Oh, okay.
Who? Did we not know? Is there someone in this room?
I said Diddy.
Oh, Diddy. Oh, well,
I thought that's who you're going to talk about. Okay.
No. Yes, we will get to that just piece of garbage. I cannot believe him. Lock him up. Throw him in the slammer for the rest of his career. We will get to all of that next. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.